The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
True crime. Unsolved cases. Strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the third season of The Deadly Countdown. Episode 2, Dr. David Kelly, the man who knew too much.
The death of Dr. David Kelly continues to make headlines. It's now been called a textbook case of suicide by the pathologist who examined his body. Nicholas Hunt said he found no signs of murder during 8 hours of study. The former weapons inspector was identified as the source of a story claiming the then Labour government had sexed up its dossier on Iraq's supposed weapons of mass destruction. His body was found in woods near his Oxfordshire home a week afterwards.
What you've just listened to was a reporter from the news station ITN in 2003 reporting on the autopsy of Dr. David Kelly, a well-renowned and well-respected scientist who'd been asked by the UK government to look into a dossier about the capabilities of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. In what appears to be an attempt by the UK government to add some scientific credibility to their justification for war in Iraq, there was just one problem with this plan. Dr. David Kelly, when looking through the dossier, didn't think it warranted going to war. He believed it had been, and I quote, sexed up. He discussed this in an anonymous BBC interview, acting in a sort of whistleblower status. Despite this, the UK government outed his name, tried to discredit his credentials, and ordered that he attend a committee on the subject. Less than 2 weeks later, he was found in a forest near his home, having allegedly committed suicide. Committing suicide by taking 29 painkillers and slicing his left wrist with a pruning knife. No fingerprints of his were found on either the tablet pack nor the knife. In a cold premonition, when asked by a friend in the year before his death, "What do you think will happen to you if we go to war with Iraq?" Dr. David Kelly claimed, "I'll probably be found dead in a wood somewhere." Welcome back to The Deadly Countdown, Season 3, Episode 2. And we're going to take a deep dive into the life of Dr. David Kelly. As always, I'd like to thank you for choosing to spend your time with me here on your show, The Deadly Countdown. And thank you all so much for your correspondence regarding last week's debut episode. And don't forget you can get in touch by emailing thedeadlycountdown@gmail.com. As we stated in our debut episode last week, future episodes will be different from the first two seasons. namely I, Kevin, hello, will be interjecting myself more into these podcasts. The first two seasons were heavily scripted, and although we're going to maintain the facts, we're also hopefully going to get to know each other a lot better. And certainly one way of doing that is joining our Patreon team. We've built a wonderful community of like-minded true crime enthusiasts over on Patreon. And we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. When you go over and sign up, not only will you receive all of these episodes at least 24 hours before everyone else and ad-free, but you can also gain access to the bi-weekly Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case. As you may be able to guess from the title, we take a look at some of the most famous unsolved cases of murder, disappearances, and mysteries throughout history. So far, we've covered the likes of the Black Dahlia case, D.B. Cooper, and this week we will be taking a look at the mysterious death of infamous actor Natalie Wood. Exactly what took place on the Thanksgiving soiree aboard a boat with Christopher Walken and Robert Wagner that resulted in her drowning? Well, this Sunday we'll take a closer look and see if we can unveil any answers. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown, just like the following wonderful new team members have: Maggie McGee, Preston, Kevin Smith, Carissa Nicole, Hannah Wade, Carrie Wells, Ivan, Stephen Peters, Roger T, and Samantha. Thank you so much, guys. Your support to the show means the world to me, and I hope you enjoy the entire back catalogue of Cold Case and look forward to each new Patreon release. But right now, the question we have in front of us is, what do you do when you have a moral obligation to yourself and to society, and it goes against what your government want you to think and do? For Dr. David Kelly, the man who knew too much, let's start the clock. Today we're diving deep into the life and mysterious death of Welsh scientist Dr. David Kelly, whose case has intrigued and baffled experts, conspiracy theorists, and the public alike. Dr. Kelly was found dead on Harrowdown Hill on the 17th of July 2003, in what initially seemed to be a clear case of suicide. But was it? His death in 2003 on Harrowdown Hill sparked a national controversy. You see, Dr. Kelly was a highly respected authority on biological warfare and was also a former United Nations weapons inspector in Iraq. And he found himself, prior to his demise, at the epicenter of a political storm leading up to the Iraq War. This one is a tangled web, guys. We've got government secrets, potential whistleblowing, and a death shrouded in ambiguity. So let's get settled in, seriously, because we're about to dissect the events that led to Dr. Kelly being found dead on a lonely English hillside. And if you're anything like me, you're only going to come out of this episode with one conclusion, and it's not the official narrative. Dr. Kelly's career path was as impressive as it was crucial. Born in Aberystwyth, Wales in 1944, his academic journey began with a degree in microbiology from the University of Wales. He later earned his PhD in microbiology from the University of Leicester. In 1970, he joined the MOD, or the Ministry of Defence, rising through the ranks to become a senior scientist at Porton Down, the UK's top biological research facility. Here, he carved out a distinguished career as a scientist, specialising in biological warfare. It was this expertise that led him to work for the British Ministry of Defence as a UN weapons inspector in Iraq. Kelly's deep knowledge of Iraq's biological weapons programme made him a key figure in the international efforts to disarm Saddam Hussein's regime. Just imagine being on the front lines of biodefense. I'm more closely related to being a chimney sweep than a scientist, but Dr. Kelly was basically a real-life scientist dedicated to keeping us all safe from horrific bioweapons. The Cold War was over, but the world was still a powder keg. These weapons of mass destruction, as they were called, were the new bogeymen under the bed. And our man Kelly? Well, he's right in the thick of it. He's the go-to guy to figure out if Saddam's hiding any deadly secrets. But it was this expertise that would soon propel him, and indeed his entire life, into a political firestorm he could never have wished for nor imagined. In the lead-up to the 2003 Iraq War, the British government released a dossier claiming Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, or WMDs. This dossier, a key factor in swaying public opinion in favour of war, later became a focal point of intense scrutiny. The controversy all began in early 2003 when Dr. Kelly anonymously met with BBC journalist Andrew Gilligan. During their meeting, Kelly expressed concerns about the British government's dossier on Iraq's weapons capabilities. He suggested it had been sexed up to justify military action. Gilligan's report on this meeting, and subsequent ones made by other journalists, sparked a major political scandal, questioning the integrity of the UK and our allies' case for war in Iraq. But you see, here's the thing. The interview with Dr. Kelly was off the record. It was an anonymous conversation. But it became public knowledge. And it became public knowledge because the government leaked it. Dr. Kelly was identified as a whistleblower. So here's Kelly, a man of science, now smack dab in the middle of this political storm. Imagine knowing your words, what you think, your opinion could tilt the scales, even if only in public opinion, towards war or peace. No pressure, right? Given the now outed discussion, the government faced accusations of misleading the public, and it was quick to distance itself from Dr. Kelly. A now infamous exchange during a press conference stands out. When questioned about Dr. Kelly's role, the government communications director, Alastair Campbell, stated, "Dr. Kelly is not a British scientist who has been put at risk. He is not somebody who has been exposed." This is where things get murky. You see, Dr. Kelly is a respected scientist, and he's in this political maelstrom, and he's being publicly disavowed by the very government that asked him to serve. Not exactly a confidence booster. Dr. David Kelly was eventually summoned to appear before the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, the FAC, on July the 9th, 2003. This was a pivotal moment in the entire weapons of mass destruction controversy. Here, the once respected scientist was thrust again into the political spotlight, forced to answer for his role in questioning the government's claims. The transcripts of the FAC hearing paint a picture of an intense and, at times, brutal interrogation. Committee members, eager to understand the source of the BBC report and pin blame, peppered Dr. Kelly with a barrage of questions. The atmosphere was described as tense, as Dr. Kelly obviously appeared visibly distressed and uncomfortable. One particularly poignant exchange stands out. Robin Cook, a former foreign secretary who had resigned in protest over the Iraq War, addressed Dr. Kelly directly. He said, "Dr. Kelly, are you content with the way you've been treated by the government?" This simple question, delivered with a hint of empathy, cut through the adversarial nature of the hearing. Dr. Kelly's response, a somber yet resolute, "No, sir," resonated deeply with the public. Here was a respected scientist, someone dedicated to national security, being seemingly scapegoated by the very government he served. His quiet, "No, sir," spoke volumes about the pressure and the humiliation he likely felt. But let's take a closer look at that Foreign Affairs Select Committee meeting itself.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
The FAC hearing, televised and widely reported, became a turning point in public perception. Instead of seeing Dr. Kelly as a potential whistleblower or a traitor, the public began to see him as a victim caught in the crossfire between the government and the media. His clear discomfort and distress during the questioning fueled public outrage and accusations that the government were deliberately targeting him. And it's easy to see why. First, his sexed-up dossier comment. Dr. Kelly's appearance before the FAC came just weeks after the BBC report alleging the exaggerated threat posed by Iraqi WMDs. This accusation placed immense pressure on the government to find the source of the leak and potentially deflect blame. Then there was the MOD's misleading statement, adding further fuel to the fire. Alastair Campbell's statement that Dr. Kelly was not a British scientist who'd been put at risk. This statement, later proven clearly untrue, further damaged public trust in the government's handling of the situation. And then there was the burden of secrecy. Dr. Kelly, bound by NDAs and the Official Secrets Act, could not fully explain his actions or reveal the extent of his concerns about the WMD dossier. This limited his ability to defend himself, and likely only added to his frustration and despair. If he was to be honest and try to defend himself, he would in turn potentially be found guilty of treason, a charge which up until 1998 could still get you the death penalty in England. Although post that date, he could still have faced life imprisonment. Dr. Kelly's appearance before the FAC exposed the human cost of political expediency, and highlighted the vulnerabilities faced by whistleblowers. His somber "no, sir" echoed not just his personal experience, but the public's growing disillusionment with the government's handling of the Iraq War. Imagine being an esteemed scientist, someone who has literally dedicated their career to national security, and suddenly you're being grilled by politicians. It wouldn't exactly be a picnic, would it? The public grilling, coupled with the government's attempt to distance themselves from you. The pressure Dr. Kelly was under must have been immense. On July the 17th, 2003, just 2 days after being publicly identified and grilled by a parliamentary committee, Dr. Kelly was reported missing. His body was eventually found the next day on Harrowdown Hill, near his home in Oxfordshire. The initial autopsy report concluded that he died from bleeding out, resulting from cuts to his wrist, alongside an overdose of painkillers. And the initial cause of death was ruled suicide by self-inflicted injuries. However, the circumstances surrounding his death sparked public outcry and accusations of a cover-up. Think about it. A scientist dead on a hill. An apparent suicide. But for a man who dealt in secrets, seemingly hounded by the government, and suddenly he's dead? Well, it didn't sit right with a lot of people, myself included. Could it really be that simple? Or is this the part where the plot thickens? Well, the answer's yes. The public outcry and conspiracy theories swirling around Dr. Kelly's death prompted the British government to launch an inquiry, led by Lord Hutton. The inquiry aimed to investigate the circumstances around Dr. Kelly's death and the government's handling of the WMD dossier. The public interest was immense. The inquiry's televised proceedings become a national spectacle. Witness testimonies revealed a complex web of communication breakdowns and shifting narratives within the government. The Hutton inquiry concluded in 2004, finding that while Dr. Kelly had taken his own life, the government's handling of the situation had contributed to the pressure he felt. Lord Hutton specifically criticised the government's decision to name Dr. Kelly as the source for Gilligan's report, stating, "This was a decision that should not have been taken." However, conveniently, the inquiry also found no evidence that the government had deliberately misled the public about weapons of mass destruction. However, the inquiry itself and its findings have been heavily criticised, seen by many as a whitewash to protect the government. So this Hutton inquiry did provide some answers, but it also left some lingering questions. Was Kelly truly suicidal? Or was there something more sinister at play? Was it the intense public scrutiny, the government's treatment of him, pushing him over the edge? Or were there darker forces at work? Some people called the inquiry how to solve a problem by saying there isn't one. But with every closed book, there's always someone peeking between the lines, looking for the truth. And in Kelly's case, there are plenty of those someones. Obviously, several theories have emerged regarding Dr. Kelly's death. And right now, we'll delve deeper into two prominent ones. Theory one, the pressure cooker. This theory suggests that the intense media scrutiny all the public naming and shaming, the government attempt to distance themselves all contributed to a crushing sense of isolation and despair for Dr. Kelly. The grilling by the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, coupled with the feeling of betrayal and the potential damage to his reputation, could have been overwhelming. Dr. Kelly's wife, Janice, in her testimony to the Hutton inquiry, spoke of her husband feeling unbelievably humiliated by all the events. Now, on the face of it, for me, this could have legs. We all have a mental threshold. And he was apparently a nice, peaceful man. Imagine being almost a reclusive scientist, someone who thrives on facts and figures, and you're thrown into the media spotlight. It's enough to make anyone crack. So was the pressure simply too much? Well, let's look at theory two. The one I side with. The silenced whistleblower. This theory proposes that Dr. Kelly may well have been murdered to prevent him from revealing further information about the WMD dossier. Maybe he stumbled upon something more substantial than he initially thought. Something the government desperately wanted to keep hidden. Fueling this theory are inconsistencies found at the scene of his death. There were traces of a military-grade enzyme called Soman on Dr. Kelly's clothing. Soman is a highly toxic nerve agent, and as you could well imagine, it's not readily available to the public. It's typically associated with government stockpiles, and certainly not a substance associated with suicides. Additionally, some discrepancies were identified in the timeline of events leading up to his death. So this enzyme thing, well, that throws a real wrench into the official works. And the timeline? Well, let's just say some folks think it's a little too convenient. According to the official account, Dr. Kelly left his home sometime on the afternoon of July the 17th. However, a witness reports seeing his car parked near the location where his body was found much earlier that morning. This discrepancy raises questions about Dr. Kelly's movements in the hours before his death. But also, the nature of Dr. Kelly's injuries raised eyebrows. Suicide by self-inflicted injuries typically involve a single, decisive action. However, in Dr. Kelly's case, there were multiple injuries, leading some to question whether, and why, he would have inflicted them all on himself. This inconsistency, coupled with the lack of a clear suicide note, fuel theories of foul play. If we're to believe the official record, Dr. Kelly walked up a hill, down 29 coproximol tablets, then severed an artery in his left wrist with a pruning knife. Yet, a forensic team found that none of his fingerprints were either on the blister tablet pack nor the pruning knife, and he wasn't wearing gloves. It's important to note that the Hutton inquiry thoroughly investigated these inconsistencies, and yet still found no evidence of foul play. However, the lingering questions continue to fuel speculation. And then there's David Roddy. Here's what we know about David Roddy. Roddy reportedly played a part in compiling the dossier used to justify the Iraq War. The specifics of his involvement remain unclear, but some believe he may have had knowledge or concerns similar to Dr. Kelly's regarding the accuracy of the dossier's claims about Iraq holding WMDs. Just 2 weeks after Dr. Kelly's death by suspected suicide, David Roddy was also found dead. Officially, his death was ruled a suicide. The close proximity of these deaths, both involving key figures connected to that WMD dossier, naturally sparked speculation. And then there's the lack of transparency. Because details surrounding David Roddy, in general, regardless of his death, are scarce. There's limited information available about the circumstances around his death or the investigation into his case. This lack of transparency fuels theories that his death may have been linked to Dr. Kelly's, or that there's a larger story yet to be told. The proximity of these deaths, coupled with the lack of clear information, has led to several other theories. A double suicide. This theory suggests that both Dr. Kelly and David Roddy, overwhelmed by the pressure and potential fallout from the WMD controversy, chose to take their own lives. Of course, the more sinister theory proposes that one or both men were murdered to silence them, to prevent them from revealing potentially damaging information about that dossier. Or some say it's a coincidence, unconnected events with unrelated causes. What do you think? I know what I think. And given the information, albeit limited, at our disposal, in my personal opinion, both of these men were silenced by a government determined to go to war at any cost. The lack of definitive answers surrounding David Roddy's death adds another layer of mystery to the already perplexing case of Dr. Kelly. The limited information available only serves to fuel speculation and public distrust. If you search Google for David Roddy, you will find nothing. And I mean nothing. And the thing is, the government have a habit of doing this. If they don't want you to see something, they will make it disappear. For example, those of us in the UK who remember the Brexit campaign will all remember seeing the picture of a very proud Boris Johnson stood in front of a red double-decker bus which had emblazoned on the side of it, "Leaving the EU gives the NHS an extra £350 million per week." Now, when we left Brexit, and that didn't happen, all of a sudden, this was called out. So what Boris done was something quite clever. During an interview, he decided to randomly throw out the fact that in his spare time, he likes to paint buses. Now, when you Google Boris Johnson red bus, you would get the interview where Boris Johnson is talking about his pastime, not the blatant lie that was sold to us about Brexit. But back to David Kelly and David Roddy. It's important to remember that despite what we've just spoken about, despite what may seem glaringly obvious, these are theories. There is no concrete evidence to suggest anything more than coincidental tragedies. However, David Roddy's death serves as yet another reminder of the human cost of the WMD controversy and the lingering questions that continue with this case. Nearly two decades later, and the mystery of Dr. David Kelly's death remains unsolved, at least in the public's eyes. Officially a suicide, yet unofficially a labyrinth of questions, theories, and shadows. it stands as a stark reminder of the complexities and dangers lurking in the intersections of science, politics, and war. Dr. Kelly's legacy, however enigmatic, continues to provoke questions. Questions about the price of truth and the nature of true power and who holds it. It's a chilling reminder of the fragility of truth and the human cost of political expediency. A story that still resonates today, urging us to question authority, value whistleblowers, and relentlessly pursue the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it may be. And there we have it. The enigmatic tale of Dr. David Kelly, whether a martyr to the truth, a casualty of political machinations, or simply a man overwhelmed by the tumultuous affairs around him. His story, indeed his life, remain a poignant testament to the murky waters of global politics and the often invisible battles waged in the name of secrecy and security. As ever, thank you for joining me on this deep dive into the shadows. Don't forget, if you'd like to join our Patreon team, this weekend we take a deep dive into the case of the drowning of Natalie Wood. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. But until next time, keep the questions coming and never stop searching for the truth. Any audio used in today's show is covered by fair use, and the link to the clip is within the show notes. I'll see you all back here next week for episode 3 of The Deadly Countdown, season 3. But until then, for Dr. David Kelly, the man who knew too much, let's stop the clock.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.